Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Nitai Gaur Hari Bol. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Shatara Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasana Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Hare Krishna. So there are in the Vedic literatures there are two very distinct branches. Those two branches are known as, one branch is Upanishad and the other branch is Puran. The Upanishad branch describes the knowledge that one receives sitting close to a self-realized person. That is Upanishad. Upanishad. Sitting close to a saintly or a self-realized person. And that way there are 108 principal Upanishads. There are many Upanishads, but these 108 are principal Upanishads. And of them, which one is the best? Sri Gita Upanishad. Now we can consider why Gita is an Upanishad. Gita is an Upanishad is because Krishna received it sitting close to Krishna's lotus feet. Arjun received it sitting close to Arjun received it from Krishna. Krishna is the original spiritual master and Arjun is an ideal disciple. Why Arjun is an ideal disciple? Because Arjun is completely surrendered to Krishna. Arjun did not have any understanding who Krishna was. Arjun is an ideal disciple because Arjun is an ideal devotee and Krishna is the supreme spiritual master, Adi Guru. He is the original spiritual master. He gave the knowledge to Brahma, this knowledge, Vedic wisdom. So that is the branch of Upanishad. And Puranas, there are 18 Puranas. Of them, which one is the topmost? Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is also known as Mahapurana. Bhagavatam is Mahapurana because Bhagavatam deals with 10 specific topics. And this way, this is considered to be the 10 symptoms of a Mahapurana. And Srila Sukadeva Goswami is describing that in the first verse of the 10th chapter of the second canto. He is pointing out Atra Sargo Visargascha Sthanam Poshanam Utayah Manvantara Ishanukatha Mukti Nirodha Mukti Ashraya. So these are the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam that has been discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam, leading to the samam bonam, the ultimate shelter, ashraya. Who is that ashraya? Ashraya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. He is the sarva karana karanam. He is the karanam, he is the cause of all causes. He is the cause of everything and everyone. Even he is the cause of the incarnations. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the supreme shelter. Starting from Sarga. Sarga is creation, the primary creation, the creation that takes place from the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. He is the supreme creator. He is the creator of also the material, entire material creation. About creation there are so many speculation going on. About creation there are so many weird concoctions and so many theories, so many hypotheses. But Vedic literatures are dealing with the creation in a very specific way. And all the scriptures are giving the same descriptions of creation, generally. What is the cause of creation? Mahavishnu lies in the causal ocean. And as he breathes underneath or lying in causal ocean, he's lying in causal ocean. So all around him is causal ocean. Cause is a substance. Cause also is a substance. We say be cause. So this cause is a substance. And there is an ocean of that cause. And lying in the causal ocean, as he breathes, what happens when you breathe underwater? The bubbles come out. The breathing causes bubbles. What's the shape of the bubble? Round. Inside the bubble? Okay. So each of these bubbles that is generated by the breathing of Mahavishnu is an universe. Each one. And how is Mahavishnu breathing? He is not only breathing through his nostril and mouth, he is also breathing from every pore of his body. And we also do that. We breathe through our skins also. Now that is also generating bubbles. So there are innumerable bubbles generated due to the breathing of Mahavishnu. And as a result of that, innumerable universes are generated. Then he expands himself into Garbhadakshayi Vishnu and enters into each bubble. The bubble inside the bubble was empty. So what he did now? Entering into the universe, he generated water from his own body. Like just as we perspire, so similarly he truly kind of generated water from his body as if he were from his perspiration. And with that water he filled up half of the universe. And then he lied on the bed of Anantasheshvara. And then from his navel a lotus came out. And in that lotus, Brahma was seated. Brahma was situated on that lotus. And Brahma is the first created being, and he is considered to be the creator. But we can see Brahma is not the creator. Brahma is the sub-creator. The original creator is Vishnu. And Vishnu in that respect is the expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in relation to the creation of the material nature. This aspect of Vishnu is pertaining to the creation of the material nature. That is Vishnu. And we find Karanadakshay Vishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and then in every single soul and in every single atom, the Lord expands as Kshirodakshay Vishnu, or as Kshirodakshay Vishnu, he enters into every living entity's soul and every single atom. Andantarastha Paramanuchayantarastha. So, this is Vishnu. There are three Vishnu expansions. Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and Kshirodakshay Vishnu. Now we can see that all these Vishnus are Shai. Shai. Shai means lying down. Why lying down? Because he's not doing anything himself. He's sleeping. He's lying down. Lying down means inactive. What it indicates? That the Lord in this material nature is not active. He is inactive. Why he is inactive? Because material nature is his external energy. He doesn't have any direct involvement with the material nature. But without his involvement, the creation won't take place. So he is involved, but he is involved in an inactive way. He is involved as Shai, lying down. And in this way the creation begins. So this aspect is Sarga. Srila Vishaya Chakravarti Thakur also is pointing out that the creation of the elements, material elements also is considered to be Sarga. And which is true, like the creation begins, the first thing is the creation. What comes out, what happens, first the elements become manifest. And then Visarga, Brahma's involvement. But Brahma's involvement is secondary involvement. What is the secondary involvement like? Secondary involvement is like the interior decorator. So, you bought so the interior, like for example, you bought an apartment in Mayapur. The building was built and then you take over the building. It's your building. The contractor built the building, and then what you do? Before you enter into the house, you get the interior decorator to do it up nicely with fancy design and all kinds of fancy stuff to make it suitable for your accommodation. So Brahma's business is something like that. He is the interior decorator. And what is the interior decoration like? Giving the living entities their bodies, making arrangements for all kinds of creation of different living. Mainly it is the development of body. The soul, when it comes to the material nature, the soul needs a body. Without a body, a soul cannot function. So this body, the first thing Brahma does is gives living entities different types of bodies. Now how Brahma awards the bodies? Brahma first actually creates from his mind. From his mind he creates. Because there is no one to assist Brahma, he is the only one. So the only way he could do that is by create the living entities or give award living entities their bodies from his mind. From his mind he creates the body. And who are the first four children of Brahma? The four Kumaras. The four Kumaras. Shanak, Shanatan, Shanandan and Sanat Kumara. Then another types of creation, another kind of living entities came out from Brahma's body. Who are they? They are the manifestation of Lord Shiva. They are the Rudras. When Brahma told his children that, look my sons, you have to help me in my business and creation. And the son said, we are not going to get involved in this messy, materialistic affairs. So please forgive us. So when Brahma saw that his children are disobedient, they are not obeying him, so Brahma got angry. But at the same time Brahma thought that they are my children, they are my offsprings, they are my creation. And if I let this anger, then this anger, Brahma is such a powerful personality. You can see how powerful he is. Through his mind he can create. Can you imagine what his anger would mean? His anger would immediately destroy them. So Brahma restrained his anger. But still the anger came out from between his eyebrows. And who are they? They are the Rudras. 11 Rudras were generated in this way. Then Brahma became a little peaceful. And then he created 10 children out of his mind again. And they are the 7 sages, Daksha and Narad Muni, the youngest one. Actually, they are the Prajapatis, they are the progenitors. Kashyapa is the principal progenitor, Daksha is another progenitor, they are creating. Kashyapa got married or accepted Daksha's daughters in marriage. And from them he created. And as his offspring from different wives came out as different living entities, different creatures. Like he, through Aditi, he got the Adityas, the demigods. Through Diti, he got the Daityas, the original Daityas, the demons. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. Then from Vinata, he got Garur and Arun. Through Kadru, he got the snakes. In this way, different types of creatures came to be. And then from Brahma's, different parts of Brahma's body also, different living entities or different personalities appeared. First they came out from Brahma's mind, and then they came out from his different limbs. From his mouth came the original Brahmanas. From his right-hand side came out Manu, Svayambhuva Manu. Manu, the son of Brahma. Manu, the son of Svayambhuva. And from his left-hand side came Shatarupa, the first couple, Manu and Shatarupa. And from them came their children, their offsprings. Who they are? Manavas. Manu's children are Manavas. Manavas means the human beings. The human beings came from the original couple, Manu and Shatrughna. And then one dynasty is established. Manu, Shatrughna, their son is Ikshaku. And from that came this Ikshaku dynasty, in which Lord Ramchandra appeared. Ikshaku Vamsa. So in this way, Srimad Bhagavatam gives the descriptions of secondary creation. After the primary creation came the secondary creation from Brahma downwards. Gives a very, very specific understanding of creation of this material universe. Atra Sarga, Visarga, Sarga is the original creation, and Visarga is the secondary creation. Sthana, Sthanam is the planetary systems. Very scientific, actually the Vedas are very, very scientific. It's a great misfortune that today people think that Vedic wisdom is actually mythology. Mythology means myth, unreal, untrue, fairy tales. It's unfortunate. They never really probed into it under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, under the guidance of a qualified teacher. Therefore, they didn't understand this topic. Of course, to begin with, they didn't have the Shraddha. They didn't have the faith. So unless and until one has faith, how can one accept this knowledge? How can one understand this knowledge? Therefore the first consideration, the first criteria to receive this knowledge is Shraddha. And then Sadhu Sangha. First we generate faith, and then association in the association of the sadhus. Sadhus means those who know this reality, those who know this knowledge, those who understood this science, they are the sadhus. Tattva darshinaha. The knower of the truth. And Vedas are dealing with the absolute truth. Sattam param dhimahi. So this supreme knowledge has to be received in a specific way. And then we can see that it is a science. Like planetary systems. There's such a scientific understanding of the planetary system. This knowledge is coming from top, from Krishna down. Therefore it's perfect. But unfortunately, today the world has become so atheistic, so misdirected, that they are not fortunate enough to understand this knowledge. sthanam, the planetary system. See, like how scientific it is. The universe has 14 planetary systems. That's the structure of the universe. Every universe has 14 planetary systems, no matter how small or how big. The topmost one is the abode of Lord Brahma. Then just below that, Brahma's abode is called Satyaloka. And below Satyaloka is Tapaloka. The four Kumaras reside there with their associates. Tapaloka. Then below that is Janaloka. Then below that is Mahaloka. This Janaloka and Mahaloka is the abode of very, very exalted Maharshis, very exalted sages. They are so exalted that they can see the time in three concepts. They see time in the context of past, present and future. We see time just present, right? Past is the memory and future is the imagination. That is our perception. But these sages, they can see past, present, future as they are. They can see the future, what will happen. They know. And they know about the past, not only what they themselves have experienced, what happened even where they were not present, even that they know. So this is how exalted this person is. Then below that, Mahaloka is Swargaloka, what is known as heaven, heavenly planet. And below Swargaloka is Bhuvarloka, and below Bhuvarloka is Bhurloka. Bhurloka is the middle one where we all are situated. We all are situated, this earth planet. Bhumandal is Bhumloka. This is the middle planetary system. So above that, there are six other higher planetary systems, and below, there are seven lower planetary systems. They are Tal, Atal, Bital, Sutal, Mahatal, Rasatal, Patal. And these are the seven lower planetary systems. And see how wonderfully it has been described. What is the higher planetary difference between higher planetary system and lower planetary systems? The lower planetary systems are considered to be Bila Sarga or subterranean planets. Subterranean. Subterranean means below. Subterranean means below earth. Below earth. Basements. In a building, you can imagine a building. In the building, there are seven stories above and seven stories below. Right? And which is the ground floor? The ground? This earth planet is the ground. Earth planet is ground floor, and then there are first floor, second floor, third floor, goes all the way up to sixth floor. And below there are subterranean, underground planets. So underground, where it is underground, there is no light. The upper planetary systems are lit up by sun. But the lower planetary systems, there is no light. But how it is lit up? It's lit up by the gems of the serpents. There are huge snakes. And on their head, there are jewels. And those jewels give light, and that's how the subterranean planets are lit up. Does it sound like fairy tale? Then I'll say, look at this light. This cable, doesn't it look like a serpent? And on top, there's the bulb. If we can make arrangement like this here, why cannot be similar arrangement there? Here, of course, we are making this arrangement through electricity. And there that arrangement is caused, created by living entities, serpents. Now look at the similarity also. You know, electricity, what is electricity? Do you know? Electricity is fire. Electricity is actually fire. Na tad bhashayate surya, na shashanka na pavaka. Fire. So there are various types of fire. This is one kind of fire. Electricity is one kind of fire. Like fire in with the filament, the electricity goes through the filament and it causes resistance. That resistance causes the filament to become heated up, and as a result of that, light comes out. How many of you have done electricity in physics? Make sense? Okay. Now look at the similarity. Electricity, just as electricity is fire, there is another kind of fire which is liquid fire. You know what is liquid fire? Poison is liquid fire. Like you take 98% alcohol, you throw it in fire, what happens? It comes out as fire. And it's in this way, poison is a kind of fire. Like it may not directly burn, but when it goes into your body, what happens? It burns. So the poison of the snakes are actually fire. And from that fire comes out that light from the gem. Now just as the filament causes resistance, and the resistance causes it to be heated up, and as a result of that, light comes out with the serpents. The jewels on their head causes the light to come out. Actually, it's so, Vedic wisdom is so scientific, so scientific. So lower planetary systems are lit up not by the light of the sun. Sun's light do not enter there. Like if you have an underground basement, first floor, first one, it may be some light there, but still then, if there's no light, you have to make arrangement for light. Then this way there are 7 lower planetary systems. And those planetary systems are very, very opulent. They are very elaborately decorated. Therefore, they are known as another kind of swarga, bila swarga. Bila means underground. Underground or subterranean heavenly planets. The description is there in Shrimad. Sthanam. That aspect is the description of planetary systems is the third aspect known as sthanam. Then poshanam, the word poshanam means protection. In this material nature, how everyone is being protected and maintained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is the Lord protecting? Do you have to go very far to understand that? Look at the protection of the Lord. The earth, what's the shape of the earth? Round. Very good. And where you are situated? Are you inside the earth or outside the earth? You are on the outside of the earth. And the earth, is it static or moving? Moving. With a tremendous speed, almost 1000 kilometers per hour. The earth is round and it is moving and we are on top of the earth. Right? On the surface of the earth. What would have been our situation? Shouldn't we have got thrown into the space? Take a round object, take a ball, put something and you move it. What happens? So shouldn't that be our situation? Shouldn't we have got thrown out? But did it ever happen? Did anyone ever got thrown out of the planet? No. Why not? Why not? Anyway, who will answer? Why not? Why we are not thrown out? Yes, Abhisarji? Very good. That is at least scientific. At least half of it is scientific. that we are not thrown out because of gravitational pull. Gravity is holding us. Now, the question comes, who created gravity? Krishna. So this is how he is protecting. Now, at the same time, there is another consideration. The earth is moving at a tremendous speed and we all are on the surface of the earth. If the earth stopped to move, what would happen? We all get thrown out into the space. Did it ever happen? Did you ever hear or read of such an incident? Why not? Because Krishna made this arrangement. Are you being protected? And who is maintaining us? We need food, don't you? Don't we? We need food. Without food, can you survive? Now, who gave the food? Let's just see Krishna's arrangement. A seed falls on the ground. Okay, let's put it this way. What is your food? Say an apple. You ate the apple, right? And inside the apple, do you eat that also? Now that falls on the ground. And as a result of that, a tree comes out. And in due course of time, in the tree, there are so many fruits. And in those fruits, there are so many seeds. In those seeds, there are so many trees. In those trees, there are so many apples. In those apples, there's so many seeds. Who made this arrangement? So this is how Krishna is protecting us. Poshanam utayah. Utayah. Utayah is the propensity to create. Creating impetus. Everybody has an impetus to create. That is how the material nature is sustained. So that's utaya. Then manvantar. There are 14 manus in a day of Brahma. Brahma's day consists of 1000 chaturyugas. That is a day of Brahma. And in a day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. These Manus are like shifts. And period are like shifts. Like in a factory, you get two shifts, three shifts, isn't it? Are you familiar? Or in your service also, you have shifts. Like especially in factories, it becomes quite apparent. There are shifts. And each shift has a foreman. He is the foreman, means he is the leader of the shift. And under him, there are different operators who operate in different machines. So Manu is like the foreman of the shift. And along with him comes his operators. These operators include even different demigods. And the Lord also comes during this Manvantara or shift of Manu as Manvantara avatar. So one Manu's shift is over, he retires, he goes, now he is off his duty, he can go home. And then another Manu comes with his group. In this way, there are change of shifts, which is known as Manvantara. So there is a description of that, how it happens. Then Ishanu Katha, the narration or description of the activities of the Lord in different incarnation, how the Lord acted, the description is there. That is known as Ishanu Katha. So Bhagavatam has these descriptions. And then Nirodha, annihilation. How different types of annihilation takes place. And the final annihilation is when the Lord withdraws his glance. And in between there are so many different types of annihilation. One annihilation, one kind of annihilation is individual annihilation. When we die, right? When we die, what happens? We are annihilated, isn't it? We are gone. We are not here anymore. I mean, we are here in the sense we are existing, but we are not conscious. We fall asleep. Death. Death is individual annihilation. Then there are different types of annihilation. When the yugas change, that's a kind of annihilation. One yuga to another. Happens after annihilation. And then when Brahma's day is over, Brahma goes to sleep. That is also another annihilation. Then when Brahma dies, at that time the entire universe dissolves. But other universes are there. But finally, when the Lord withdraws his glance, then all the living entities will act. All the creation is withdrawn. And the material nature becomes up back to unmanifest. That's the final annihilation. Up back. Up back to dini bhutani. Vyakta madhani bharata abhaktan nidhanan neva. The material nature was unmanifest. Then it became manifest. Then again it will become unmanifest. In this way, bhutva bhutva pralayati. Again and again there is creation and annihilation goes on in cycle. Then mukti, liberation, freedom from material bondage. And then finally, ashraya. The perfect understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes. Who is that? From Bhagavatam only we get the perfect understanding of that personality. Who is that? Ishvaraha Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govindaha Sarvadharana. So in this way, through Srimad Bhagavatam, we get the perfect understanding of everything. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Thank you. This question is in Bengali. I'll read in Bengali and then I'll translate it to English. But I hope it'll be alright if I answer in English. Okay, Hare Krishna Maharaj, Amar Anturik Dandavat Pranam Grohan Korben. Amar Prushno Hulo, Brahmande Sarvashrestha Sthan Vrindavan O Navadvip. Amar Navadvipir Modhe Mayapur Sarvashrestha. তাহলে এখানকার সমস্ত ধামবাসী যাদের আনুগত্যই আমাকে গোলক বৃন্দাবনের দিকে চালিত করবে তাদের প্রতি আমার কিরকম আচরণ বা ব্যবহার করা উচিত? He is saying in the universe the topmost place is Vrindavan and Navadvip. And in Navadvip, Mayapur is the highest. Then the residents of this dham my submission to them are leading me towards Vrindavan. Then what kind of attitude I should have towards them? Nice question. The attitude, what should be the attitude? Bhagavad Gita is describing that. Tad viddhi pranipatena. Those who are imparting the spiritual knowledge, those who are guiding you to the spiritual sky, what should be your attitude towards them? The attitude towards them should be pranipatena. Your attitude should be submissive towards them. Your attitude should be full of shraddha, full of respect. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam. Those who have Shraddha, they only can receive transcendental knowledge. So this Shraddha is very, very important. Adau Shraddha. Shraddha towards your superiors is very important. Dear Maharaj, what is the cause of doubts or lack of faith? How to deal with it? Well, lack of faith is, as you are saying, lack of faith is doubt. Doubt is lack of faith. That is not really believing what you are being told. Not really believing what's written in the scriptures. That is the lack of faith, and that is what is causing doubt. Krishna says, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if you think, maybe Krishna is lying, that is lack of faith. Or you may not say, but deep down inside you are thinking, it can't be true. That is lack of faith. So we have to dispel this doubt. Whatever has been said in the scriptures, we must accept it with absolute faith, whether we understand it or not, whether we can accept it or not. We have to accept it. Krishna Krishna is blue. You can't doubt. Is it possible? I haven't seen anybody with bluish complexion. No, Krishna is blue. There are higher planetary systems. There is a reality beyond this material nature. We have to accept it. Whether we can see it or not, whether we can touch it or not, whether we can perceive it or not, it doesn't matter. That is the secret of success. I'm noticing that no one is writing your names. Why? Okay, this question I'll read and then you have to identify who the question is from. Maharaj, Hare Krishna, could you please explain a little bit about the function of Manu? Why he comes? Is there any particular purpose behind that? Whose question is this? Oh, that's your question. Okay. See, there are different levels of authority. Right? Like, for example, there are kings. By the way, in Vedic culture, there is no democracy. Vedic culture is based on monarchy, kings. There are smaller kings, then there is a bigger king, even bigger king, and then finally it comes to the monarch of the entire earth planet, one ruler of the earth planet. And then there is another higher level of ruling or controlling or authority structure. So Manu is on that level, higher than the planetary system, earth planet. But he's involved in the affairs of this planetary system. That is Manu. Hare Krishna Maharaj, please reconcile the statement of Bhagavatam 2.2.27 that Satyaloka is free from old age, death and anxiety with Bhagavad Gita 8.16 that from the highest to the lowest planet are places of suffering wherein birth, death take place. Yeah. Yeah, the material nature. Okay, by the way, whose question is this? Okay. So, like, although Satyaloka say is in Satyaloka, there is no old age and disease and so forth. Not only Satyaloka, actually, heavenly planets are there. There is no death as such in those planets. Like, for example, when one goes to heavenly planet, there is no death. He doesn't die in the heavenly planet. At the most, what happens, when he loses his punya, he falls down. He falls down from the heavenly planet and comes down to the earth planet. And here he gets another one. There he doesn't die. He, all of a sudden, one day, he finds himself just falling. Kshine punne martalokam vishanti. So there is no old age, there is no death. But what happens when Brahma dies, finally? When Brahma's 100 years over, then he dies. Then along with him, everyone dies. They don't die otherwise. In Satyaloka, the residents don't die otherwise, but when Brahma dies, along with Brahma they go. And as long as Brahma is alive, they remain. But ultimately in the material nature, everyone has to die. jatasya hi dhruvam mrityu, dhruvam mrityu, dhruvam janma mrityasya. One who is born is bound to die. So was Brahma born? Therefore he will die. But Brahma was born in a very amazing way, so he'll die also in a very amazing way. Dear Maharaj, kindly accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. That's it. I won't ask who you are. Paramananda Das. Okay. Dear Maharaj, Pamho AGTSP, as you said that Lord creates and annihilates, that is, manifest and unmanifest, my question is, Lord is doing this to recall fallen souls, or not recall, reclaim. Please describe more. Anyway, you answered it. He creates and he maintains and he does everything to reclaim the fallen souls. All right? Partha Das. In the earlier stage, that was in Gurukul system, how teaching was given to the devotees, either Vaidhi Bhakti or Raganuga Bhakti. I want your mercy regarding this. So as I mentioned yesterday, the general practice of Bhakti is Vaidhi Bhakti. Bhakti is Vaidhi Bhakti, generally. Like as I mentioned in yesterday's class, that in ISKCON, although we are following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Raganuga Bhakti, but the process is Vaidhi Bhakti, and by Mahaprabhu's divine arrangement, the Vaidhi Bhakti is being transformed into Raganuga Bhakti. Because you are following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are serving, you are rendering devotional service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In which way? Vaidhi Bhakti? That is through Vaidhi Bhakti. But who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Srimati Radharani. So when you are following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who you are following? You are following Srimati Radharani. What is the meaning of Raganuga Bhakti? Raganuga Bhakti is following one of the Ragatmika Bhaktas in Vrindavan. Who is a better Ragatmika Bhakta than Srimati Radharani? Aisharja Radhika. So is there a connection between faith and love? I mean, without loving something or someone, the faith will not be strong. Well, faith and love can be connected, can be synonymous. But the thing is, you see, if the faith is considered to be Shraddha and love is Prem, so the approach is with Shraddha, and this love is only for Krishna. You may have faith in others, but love is for Krishna. Antaranga Radhika. আপনি বললেন শ্রদ্ধা থাকা প্রয়োজন, কোনোভাবে যদি শ্রদ্ধা হারিয়ে ফেলি তাহলে কিভাবে সেটা ফিরে পেতে পারি? কোনো জিনিস হারিয়ে গেলে সেটা কিভাবে ফিরে পেতে হয়, ওটার জন্য অনেক কষ্ট করতে হয়, আর তার পাওয়া যাবে কি যাবে না তারও ঠিক থাকে। কোনো জিনিস যদি হারিয়ে যায় তুমি নিশ্চিতভাবে বলতে পারবে এটা ফিরে পাবো? অতএব যে জিনিসটা দুর্লভ সেটা যাতে না হারায় সেই চেষ্টা করবে। ওকে, আই সেড ইট ইন বেঙ্গলি। দ্য কোয়েশ্চেন ইজ দ্যাট শ্রদ্ধা ইজ ভেরি ইম্পর্টেন্ট, বাট ইফ সামবডি লুজেস শ্রদ্ধা, হাউ ক্যান হি অর শি গেট ইট ব্যাক? সো দ্য আনসার ইজ, ইফ ইউ লুজ সামথিং, দেন দের ইজ নো গ্যারান্টি দ্যাট ইউ গেট ইট ব্যাক। Therefore, if something is very valuable, make it a point not to lose it. Padmaradhika Devi Dasi, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my respectful obeisances. Thank you very much for your enlivening seminars. Can you please explain how we have an eternal relationship with Guru, how it continues even in the spiritual world? Very good question. You see, Guru is connected to Krishna. And Guru is showing, teaching you how to become connected to Krishna. And is Krishna eternal? Is Krishna, Krishna's relation, is your relationship to Krishna is eternal? Therefore, those who are also related to Krishna, are you, is that relationship eternal? So that is how the relationship with the spiritual master is eternal. Because the spiritual master will always be with Krishna, and when you go back to Krishna or when you develop your relationship with Krishna, your spiritual master is there. You'll find your spiritual master there. And if you are sincere about your spiritual life, and even if in this, in one life one can go back to Krishna, the spiritual master will help you and guide you and take care of you, to assist you to continue your journey to Krishna. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is that, you see, Guru is a representative of, and Krishna is there with you as the super soul. So the Guru is the external manifestation of the super soul. Because you cannot see Krishna, although Krishna is in your heart, but you cannot see Krishna. Therefore Krishna made this very special arrangement that he externally manifests, the Guru, he himself manifests externally as the spiritual master to guide you. In your, so guide you means bring you close to him. So that way, because he is guiding you to Krishna, he is Krishna's representative. Because he is a manifestation of Krishna, just as Krishna is eternal, you have an eternal relationship with Krishna, you have eternal relationship with him as well. It's clear? Okay, thank you. Sumedhavi Radhika. Okay. Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. My question is, Radharani is in Prema Bhakti, Raganuga Bhakti. Then what is Uttama Bhakti and what is the difference between these two? Kindly please explain. You see, Radharani is not Raganuga Bhakti. Yesterday what did I explain? What is the definition of Raganuga Bhakti? Rag Anuga following Ragatmika Bhakta. So Radharani is the epitome of Ragatmika Bhakti. Right? So following the bhakti that is executed, following these Ragatmika Bhaktas is called Raganuga Bhakti. Raganuga Bhakti is a kind of bhakti. You are asking what's the difference between Uttama Bhakti and Raganuga Puna. Uttama Bhakti is the perfected stage of devotion. And Raganuga Bhakti is the way to achieve that perfected stage. Right? Hare Krishna Maharaj, this question is from Ghanashyam Govinda Das. Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you for the wonderful class. Does Shirodakshayi Vishnu have his own abode apart from being inside every living being? Yes. Shirodakshayi Vishnu's abode is actually Shweta Deep. In this universe, there is an ocean of milk. And in the middle, in that ocean of milk, there is an island whose color is white. Therefore, it is called Shweta Deep. And Shirodakshayi Vishnu resides in Shweta Deep. When Brahma went, do you remember at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam? Where did Brahma go? Shore of the milk ocean. And he offered his prayers. And then he heard the Lord speaking to him. Who is that Lord who spoke to him? Shirodakshayi. That is Shirodakshayi Vishnu. Where is Vaikuntha located? Okay. From the material point of view or... okay, yes. You see, the universe, each universe, I mean, there are innumerable universes. Let's put it, let's go into that because we have already discussed that. There's a causal ocean, and in the causal ocean, there are many universes. Right? Now, beyond that causal ocean, there is Brahma Jyoti. Okay, this will be... I won't take any more questions today. Okay, the last question. There are innumerable universes. They're in causal ocean. And beyond that causal ocean, there is Brahma Jyoti. And in that Brahma Jyoti, I mean, if you consider the Brahma Jyoti is the space, in that spiritual region of light, there are planetary systems. Those planets are spiritual planets known as Vaikuntha. What happens to Garbhodakshayi Vishnu and Shirodakshayi Vishnu after annihilation? They remain. The material nature disappears, but they remain. It's a matter of glancing and withdrawing his glance. He is there. When he glances towards the material nature becomes manifest. And when he withdraws his glance, material nature disappears. And not only it's a matter of his glance, you can consider, you know, how powerful that personality is. Jashyaika nishyashita kalam athavalamba jivanti lomo bilaja jagadandana. His one breath is the duration of the lifespan of Jagadanda Natha. Jagadanda means Brahman, universe, the Lord of the universe. So Brahma is such an exalted personality, but what is the span of Brahma's life? Just one breath of that personality. Sthanam, Poshanam, protection. Protection. Utaya, Kriya. Acha. Anyway, Utaya, create annihilation. Creation. Oh, I see. I don't know. What is this? Sudhanidhi Das. What's your question? How and why does soul come to the material world? Because the soul, when he turns away from Krishna, he comes under the influence of Krishna's external image. Krishna bhuli shei jeev anadi bohir mukh atoeb maya tare dasham shabd. Krishna bhuli. When a living entity forgets Krishna, he falls into maya. The reason of a living entity is falling into maya is forgetfulness. Krishna bohir mukh hoiya bhagavan shakar. A living entity turns his face away from Krishna and wants to enjoy, and as a result of that, nikatastho maya tare japutiya. The maya embraces. This is from the internet question from Malaga, Spain, Mukunda Das. Pranam Maharaj, accept my humble obeisances. Maharaj, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj, is sufficient we chant our rounds and read Srila Prabhupada's books, or is it necessary any other physical service? Yes, you have to read Prabhupada's books. And then what will you do? After reading Prabhupada's books, will you go to sleep? After you read Prabhupada's books, you have to render service. Just reading Prabhupada's books and chanting is not enough. When you read Prabhupada's books and chant Hare Krishna, then you have to show what you learned. And that is by rendering devotional service. Devotional service. The process is devotional service. Dear Maharaj, Dandavats, please forgive me. I don't have a question, but a comment. One question you received was, how to destroy doubts. You answered the question very nicely. But another way is found in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Ashraddha Shraddha Dhanashya. Okay. Sangshayatma Vinashyati. Nayam Lokosti na Chara. Sangshayatma Vinashyati. Yeah, so, but ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. For the doubting soul, there is no happiness neither in this world or the next. Yes, that is true, but the question actually was, that what this verse is saying is what happens when one doesn't have faith. Whose question is this? Okay. Oh, this is sorry, Prabhu. Tasmat agyana sambhutam ritsam jnana sinatmana chittaina sangshaya yogam Atishtatishta Bharata. Please forgive my spelling mistakes. Therefore, the doubts that have arisen in your heart out of ignorance should be slashed by the weapon of knowledge. Yeah. Armed with yoga, O Bharata, stand and fight. Thank you, Sauri Prabhu. So, by listening to your Krishna Katha, so much knowledge has been given to kill our doubts. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Birabhadra Keshava Das. Who is Birabhadra Keshava Das? Okay, thank you. Dear Maharaj, kindly accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. The facilities in the form of temptation and their satisfaction for four sinful activities are easily available in material world. But to go back home, back to Godhead, are very rare. Why so, if material nature is under control of Krishna? You see, Krishna wants us to go back to Him. And for that, Krishna made the process of going back very easy. But if we don't want to accept that offer, then who can help us? Then only it becomes difficult. Otherwise, it's not difficult to go back to Krishna. See, if Krishna is our father, does the father want his son to go away from him? Do you have a son? Yeah? Do you want him? Say, if your son runs away from house, how will you feel? How will you feel? Now, if you get to know that your son is somewhere, what will you do? Won't you try to get him back? But if you say, I don't want to go to him, then what can you do? After all, he's grown up. He has his independence. He says, no, I don't want to go to you. Then all you can do is wait till he wants to come back. That's what I'm talking about. You send the car. Not only a car. You send a private jet to pick him up. But if he doesn't want to come, then what will all these facilities do? What did Krishna do? Look at the facility. Chant Hare Krishna. Is it difficult? Just by chanting Hare Krishna, you can go back home to Him. You don't even need a vehicle. You don't even have to buy a ticket in a plane. Right? That's how easy the process is. So Krishna never made it difficult. But if you don't want to accept it, then what can you do? Going back to Godhead is very easy. That's the point. Like, we have to understand that going back to Godhead is not difficult. But it's difficult to give up our material attachment. That is what is difficult. Giving up the material attachment. That's why we have to be in the association of devotees. That association makes us serious about our commitment to Krishna. And because that is what loosens our material attachment. Hare Krishna Maharaj, how the topics of creation connected with process of sadhana bhakti. Creation is connected to the process of sadhana bhakti because through this understanding of creation, you understand where you are. This question is from what's your name? Juvati Sundari Devida. Juvati Sundari. How is the created connected to the process of sadhana bhakti? You see, this way, through this knowledge, you get to know what this material nature is like and the process, why it is important to practice sadhana. Right? You get to know where you are, you get to know where you have to go, you get to know how to go there. Right? This information, therefore, if you do not know where you are, how will you figure out where you have to go? Right? Krishna Dasi. Dear Maharaj, you said there are 14 Manus in one day of Brahma, but Brahma lives for 100 days. So does the same Manus come in the other days also. They may come, they may not come. It may, Krishna, it is up to Krishna's arrangement. They may come, they may not come. But the general understanding is that they will change. The point is that in 100 years of Brahma. So that means how many Manus will be there? Can you imagine? Thank you Maharaj for your class. The Srimad Bhagavatam gives vivid descriptions of the beginning of creation. What is the importance or significance of understanding the topic of creation, Haripriya Dasi. Who is Haripriya Dasi? Okay, is this, you got the answer? You had the same question actually. Dhanavad Pranam Maharaj, Mathura Kumari Devi Dasi. Who is Mathura Kumari? Okay. Thank you for this great class. Please, can you explain about purification, how we can understand that the sickness or other kinds of suffering are purification? Does it increase in the dham? No. A dham should not increase your suffering. No, I'm coming to that. So I'm taking your question from bottom up. So... Since you, the last point you made is, does it increase? Does it increase in the dham? Yes, purification will increase in dham. But it's not that all, I mean, to purify you always have to suffer. Suffering helps purification. Right? But purification is not always due to suffering. At some point, you see why purification may appear to be suffering at times. Because you are attached to something. Because you are attached to something. And that attachment is causing you impurification. Or causing you your attachment to material nature. And as a result of that, you are not inclined to go to Krishna. So that now when some arrangement is made to free you from that attachment, because you are attached to it, you feel that you are suffering. You get the point? Because you are attached, you are crying, no, 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 don't take it away from me. Right? And that's how you feel that it is suffering. But actually, the purification should be very pleasing. Say for example, you are attached to your body, right? But then you get some disease, some. Now, what the disease is doing is freeing you from your attachment from the body, attachment to the body. And that is how you are getting healed. Is it good to have attachment to the body? So if something is helping you to become detached, it is purification. So this is how sometimes through suffering we become purified. But that doesn't mean that always we have to suffer to become purified. At some stage, at the initial stage, when the attachment is there, then maybe that purification, then the purification may appear to be suffering. But actually purification is not suffering. Purification is always taking us to the joyful state of existence. Okay, so I answered all the questions. Oh, I see. One more question. Okay. So it's from the internet again. Satish Krishna Das from Ujjain. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. please accept my humble obeisances. My question is, when one leaves the spiritual world, is it always the cause that the spirit soul takes the position of Brahma? And the case, always the case that the spirit soul takes the position of Brahma from Satish Krishna. When one leaves the spiritual world, is it always the case that the spirit soul takes the position of Brahma? Srila Prabhupada said yes. That when a living entity comes from the spiritual sky, the first position he takes is the position of Brahma. Okay, thank you all very much. So let us end it with a kirtan. You have some announcement?
Yes, Maharaj.
Yeah, thank you.
Just I will take 2-3 minutes, not more than that. I know it is late already. Anyway, on behalf of all the students from Mayapur Institute and our honorable guest listeners, I am here to offer our respectful gratitude to Maharaj to give us this opportunity to spend 3 continuous days with him. And of course, many of you have already realized the importance of listening to an elevated soul who has realized Shastra and serving us out of his experience. This was being reminded to me, just like, you know, mother bird, it goes to different places. And when mother bird, she gets a, you know, big chunk of food, and after she comes to the nest, what does she do? With its big beak, she just, you know, cut the food into small, small pieces so that baby bird can easily swallow it and survive very happily. And one day, it will fly. So, similarly, even the Prabhupada and our previous acharyas, they have given us shastras, but still, as a fallen soul, without having sufficient intelligence to understand how they have presented shastra to us, we need to listen from Prabhupada's disciples like Maharaj, who have been associating with Prabhupada for many, many lifetimes, I would say. And they are here amongst us, so like mother bird, the way he explained all the different aspects of Uttam Bhakti, Raganuga Bhakti, and of course 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, is like, you know, making it into small, small pieces with different analogies so that we can understand it very nicely. So I hope it has helped you a lot in your spiritual progress. And in future, you would expect Maharaj to spend a little more time with us, and we will listen Chaitanya Charitamrita from him. Just not my appreciation, one devotee has handed over the appreciation. I would like to read this out to all of you with Maharaj also. Dear Hare Krishna, dear Maharaj, we are very grateful to learn from you the transcendental subject matters like Uttam Bhakti, Raganuga Bhakti, are advanced studies and thus are difficult for us to understand from our level. But you made us understand these subjects very clearly in a most simplified manner with wonderful analogies. You have taught us how to approach these subjects carefully with introspection. Your answers to the point for our questions have indeed enlightened us. Thank you very much. We hope to learn more. We hope to learn from you, Your Holiness, again. Also, thank you for inspiring us to read Sri Prabhupada's books. How many of you agree with this comment? Okay. So I will end here with inviting His Grace Saurabh Prabhu to come and offer a garland and appreciation on behalf of all the listeners to Maharaj. श्रीमान भक्तिचार्य स्वामी महाराज की श्रील प्रभुपाद की समवेत गौर भक्तवृंद की।